We thank you for your presence. Indeed. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you choose to visit him? It has pleased you to do so this afternoon. For that we're grateful. We enter your word with reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully aware and conscious of our limitations to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been concealed and compressed in this written word. And therefore we come to ask for help, fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that it will be done with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said,
Amen.
I'm going to be talking this afternoon about the armor of love. Pastor Cole spoke last week, you know, about loving God more. And actually this is like a continuation and an amplification and a clarification of that message. This is one of the most important messages you're going to be hearing, you know, in the course of this year and onwards, because you have to understand your spiritual armor. I touched on it tangentially during the Bible study, and I've actually preached this maybe about 10, 20 years, not 20, you know, I think it was 2004, that's 13 years ago. I preached a message called The Right Hand of God. And in that message, I did speak about this, but I want to just zero in on the armor of love. I shared with us recently about the fact that as Christians, we will experience sufferings. That is a done deal. But the good news is that you can and should overcome the sufferings. Sufferings are two levels. There's the suffering of satanic attack, where Satan buffets, that's the word the Apostle Paul used. He said, "They were sent to me the messenger of Satan because of the abundance of revelations to buffet." The word buffet means to hit, to attack. Every Christian will be subject to that at one level or the other. God allows it to give him a legal basis to punish eternally Satan and all eternal rebels. We see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, this is a manifest of the righteous token of God, you know, who will punish those that trouble you. You know, that God will allow you to be attacked. It's an essential requirement for those who aspire to reign with God. If you don't suffer him, you're not going to reign with him. But the good news is, if you will, the second part of the suffering is that you suffer self-denial in food, sleep, in talking, so that you can, you know, you deny yourself the things of the, not necessarily sinful, not necessarily wrong, just for some time, so that you can give extra time to pray. And when you pray, you now release the power of the Holy Spirit that now crucifies the lusts of the flesh. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross,
deny himself and follow me. This is what Jesus did all his life. The Bible reveals to us in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, in the days, plural, of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying. He's talking about travail and groanings and all that, and tears, and was, you know, heard in that he feared. He had the right attitude, and so the mercy and the grace of God was upon his prayers, and his prayers worked. And we're supposed to follow this example. And so when we pray in that way with self-denial, we release the power of the Holy Spirit that now neutralizes and overcomes the attack. The attack comes, and then we're able to counter attack, so to speak, and then we can do two vital things. One, we can reduce the duration of the attack. And secondly, we can reduce the damage that the attack causes to almost zero. This is not pie in the sky, it's reality. The book of Daniel reveals to us that Daniel was attacked all his life. You know, he was a little kid. You know, the Babylonians ransacked Jerusalem, I believe. It's not recorded, but you know, his parents were probably killed. You know, because he was taken to Babylon, you know, just as a teenager with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, he survived that. And then in Babylon again, he started fasting and praying. You know, the guy said, the king will kill you. You know, he said, test me. In 10 days, the test was over. You know, then again, the king went to kill all the wise men. Dan said, just give me 24 hours. He went to pray. God gave him revelation, and that was off. Then again, they were put in the fire. You know, the fire didn't burn them. They entered it, but they neutralized it. Secondly, you know, also, furthermore, rather, you know, he was put in the lion's den. This gives us an example of the fact that as Christians, we can and will experience satanic buffeting. But through prayer and staying with God, we can overcome those attacks completely. You know, it's not that we won't feel it, we will feel it, you know, but it will be, it can be, not will be, it can be minimal. And this is where this issue of the armor of love comes in. It is God's defensive system that he has designed for the church. Sadly, most Christians don't, are either ignorant of it, or where they know about it, they don't use it properly. Hence this prophetic message. We are entering deeper waters because the glory of God is around the corner. A lot of people think that when glory comes, it's just going to be fine, and it's going to be fine. But it's not going to be without challenges. In fact, the glory causes greater challenges because Satan gets mad. And he wants to do everything he can to get rid of people who are preaching the glory, manifesting the glory, demonstrating from the face of the earth. You become his top priority. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He said, because of the abundance of the revelation, not the absence of it, because of the presence of it. Confirming Jesus's talk in the parable where he says affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, the revelation. And he was and Paul, like every normal human being, just, you know, all of us are the same, you know. And when God said, look, God, I'm tired of all these attacks, you know, take this thing from me, God said, you don't understand. I'm paraphrasing. I can't stop it. I'm not going to stop him from attacking. If I stop him from attacking, how do you want me to punish him? I'm going to let him attack you. But I got news for you. My grace is sufficient for you. You learn how to use my grace. The attack will come and you neutralize it. And then you will overcome it. That's the mentality. And we need to have, I thank God for those confessions we make here every Sunday, a 21st century militant Zion, you know, church mentality. You have to have that mentality in this day. God is not going to stop Satan attacking you, but he is going to give you, and he has given you, the spiritual weaponry to be able to overcome any attack, however severe. If you look at what happened with Daniel and the four Hebrew children, I use that as an example because one of the best examples in the Bible, both New and Old Testament, you know, no damage at all. But the attack was severe. Very severe. The people that carried them in the fire died. That tells you that it wasn't just an ordinary fire. You know, it was. They stoked the thing 7 times. The men, because to put them inside, because they didn't want to go, and they refused to go, so they had to be carried into the place. The guys who carried them, the heat, the men didn't watch this. The guys did not enter the fire. The people who carried them, it was the heat, the temperature that was coming out from the furnace. It was so hot that the people, to get near enough to dump them inside the fire, the thing killed the people who carried them. That shows you how severe it was. But the Bible tells us that there was a fourth man in the fire. There's a fourth man in your fire. His name is Jesus. He's always with you, folks. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even though they were in the fire did not hurt them. It means there is a place in God for protection. Now, let's get down. How do we do this? How, you know, this, the Bible calls it the armor of God. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verse 10. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now, this is Paul writing to the Ephesian church. This is a very, I've taught on the book of Ephesians over the years in this church, and I'm sure I've said this before, but because of the context of this message, I need to review it. This finally is a very significant word. You know why? God, through Paul, had given the Ephesian church the highest revelation that man can ever get. You don't find it in any other book. You find snippets of it in other places. But the full, it is in Ephesians, God uses Paul to reveal to the church its purpose. That we may, you know, be no more children. And grow up into him in all things. It says, you know, that we grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, great revelation. So Paul knew what was coming after the revelation to the Ephesians and to all of us. He said, finally. See, the book of Ephesians is in 2 parts. The first 3 chapters is revelation of the great things. You're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Your surprises and powers are under you. You know, you've been given a name far above. You know, great, great revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapters 4 and 5 are practical instructions of how to now begin to walk in that revelation. You know, therefore walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. You know, don't lie. You know, be angry and sin not, and so on and so forth. So he gives, you know, practical instructions of how, you know, then talk about husband and wife. You know, like Christ who loved the church, you know, submit to one another in the fear of God and all that. Then he says, finally, I have to pay close attention to this finally. Because with all I have told you, attacks are going to come. She says, finally. Be strong in the Lord. I didn't hear you. And in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on half the armor of God. You know, the Bible is a scientific book. It's a book of precision. I've discovered that. You know, when God says things, take note. It means that it is possible to put on part of the armor and not put on some of the armor. That's why the Holy Spirit now emphasizes the whole. We'll see as we go along. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The other translation will say, give me New International Version here, you know, or Amplified, schemes, okay. Let me paraphrase that and say, so that you'll be able to stand against the attacks. Same thing, schemes. He'll be planning, you know, and then he'll attack. You know, so Satan is a strategist. We need to understand that. And he's a pretty intelligent being. He got it from God. The Bible says he sums up the sum of wisdom, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan is not, he's not the dodo Christians call him. Far from it. He is a respectable enemy. He's an enemy. You know, and when you want to deal with him, you got to deal with him with the wisdom of God. You can't deal with him with natural wisdom, he'll run rings around you. Am I talking to anybody here? So we need to understand that you have to successfully all the strategies and deceits of the devil. So to effectively overcome satanic attack, you have to put on the whole, not parts, the whole armor of God. Now let's move on. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Folks, your problem is not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not the witch in your village. Hello, somebody. It's not that guy who is doing you. There's nobody doing you. You're doing yourself. Because of your lack of knowledge. Are you listening to me? No, it's not. You know, this is I would to God that most Christians would take this to heart. I know we say it, but men, you know, when there's a problem, you quickly attack somebody. But you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes, a human being was used, but there is a spiritual power operating via the flesh of that person to come and attack you. So don't attack the person, attack the power that is working on the person. And even your enemies will be at peace with you. That's what scripture says. You look at how the Bible is so intricately interwoven. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord. Now, that is pregnant. How does a man please the Lord? Let me just say summary, by walking in love. Now, walking in love is not just something you just do like that. We're going to come to that in a minute. Do you understand? But if you please the Lord, you will be releasing spiritual forces. Those spiritual forces now will go and neutralize the wicked spirits that are operating through the human being that is your problem. And after a while, the human being, you'll be at peace with you. He won't be able to touch you. Classical example, Paul and Silas. The very man who beats them, jailed them and put them in jail. It was the same man that freed them when they saw the power of God. Observe, Paul did not fight the man. Paul did not say, this wicked man who beat us without permission, because they didn't have right to do what they did. This wicked man, now let's use this earthquake to finish him. We'll finish our enemies. Fire, 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 fire. If it was us, we'll pray fire. Ah, now that we saw the power, we'll put fire. You know not what spirit you're of. Paul, the man wanted to kill himself. That would have been the time for Paul to take vengeance. This man who beat us, you know, without permission and lawlessly, and put us in jail. No, the heart of love. He said, harm not yourself. We're all here. I'm not running away. Don't harm yourself. The Bible says the man came trembling. That's the power of love. He came trembling and said, sirs, what should I do? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and all your house will be saved. Instantly, the man got born again, washed there, took him to his own house. looked after them. And that night, not only the man, his whole household got saved. Talk about if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Oh yes. Let's work this Bible properly. Thank God for the song the choir sang. Lay hold on the word. It will work for you. But do it properly. Do it the way God said. It works. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now let's go back to Ephesians. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spiritual wickedness in high places. Some translation says wicked spirits in heavenly places. These are different cadres, different ranks of evil spirits, but that's not my message today. You know, verse 13. Wherefore, so in the light of all these principalities and powers and all these things, take unto you the whole, everybody say whole, armor of God, that there is a purpose you may be able to withstand, just like Daniel withstood, like Paul withstood. In the evil day, having done all to stand. I got some bad news and good news. Every day is an evil day. You know why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's always something the devil is planning every day. But turn to your neighbor and say, don't let that disturb you. Chill. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It doesn't matter what he brings. Tell him, bring it on. Hallelujah. Amen. You come in, I'm going to raise a standard against you, and you're going to go right back out. Hallelujah. That's the warrior mentality. Are you listening to me? Yes, there's an evil for every day, but thank God there is a grace that is more than enough for the evil of the day. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When you read the New Testament, particularly the letters and the revelation of Paul, you get this sense, this mentality of complete and total victory. More than a conqueror, who causes us to triumph always. You never see negativism with Paul. And it's not Paul, it's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not a negative spirit. He's not a pessimistic spirit. He's not a spirit that causes depression. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That's the Holy Ghost. I have overcome the world. Are you listening to me? You've got to imbibe the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The essence of the Holy Spirit is victory. Oh, that's why I love reading the Bible. It's the good news. Read the back of the book, we win. Turn to somebody, say, we win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you always remember that, no matter what's going around, you just tell them, you no matter what the devil's trying to do, say, hey, I don't know if you read the back of the book. We win. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Oh! We win. We win. I said, we win. Glory be to God. So when you go into any fight, go with a winning attitude. Go with a winning mentality. You know why? You're going to win. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Always go and check the New Testament is positive. Always positive. You don't find negativism with God. It's always positive. The other day I was reviewing one of my weekly rhemas, and you know, I was talking about, you know, the renewing of the outer man, you know, and dominion over death. And you know, I looked at the example of Paul and Peter. You can't read what the man wrote. He says, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. Henceforth, look at a human being like you. The man does not have two heads. is just like you and I. He writes with confidence, the time of my departure is at hand. I have finished my course. I have run my race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Everybody, Lulu is on here. You know, if it was Jesus, well, that's Jesus. At least this is Paul now. A man of like passions. That's where God wants you to get to. Oh, well, some of us may die, you know, before Jesus comes, if we want to. Amen. But that's dominion over death. It doesn't mean he didn't die. It means he was in control. The devil could not kill him until he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Me and God decide when we die, where we die, how we die. Amen. Give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. That's the mentality of that book in your hand. Peter said that, he says, my time of departure, he says, I want you to have remembrance of all of these things. Wrote something. He said, for the as the Lord has shown me, I'm going to put off this my tabernacle. The time of my departure is at hand. But, you know, when I go, I want you to have remembrance of what I'm telling you. Those are winners. Follow them. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. Move back to Ephesians. So, here, take unto you the whole armor of God, so you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. There is evil, but you overcome them. And having done all to stand, verse 14, stand. Turn to your neighbor and say, stand. I didn't hear you. You're not talking like warriors. Stand, therefore. Now, let's go into the armor. Number one, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, understand this is symbolic. So what we're going to do now is we want to get the sense. You know, not just a symbolism, but we want to find, what is he really saying? Back in those days, Paul lived in the time of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire was one of the most powerful empires in ancient history. They conquered so many places. The uniform of the Roman soldier was particularly unique. They tied with a belt. So Paul now used the armor of the Roman soldier symbolically to try to explain to us how we are supposed to arm ourselves in our spiritual warfare. Now watch this. Having your loins girt about with truth. Now let's, because of time, I'm just going to hit it. He's telling you here that your internal tunic and something is held together with truth. What is truth? The word of God. But how does it work? Honesty and humility. That is what he's talking about. And notice that's where he starts from. That's where he starts from. The whole thing is, the whole thing is held together with truth. Remove truth, your whole uniform comes down. You see why? Do you see why in some cases Satan seems to be able to walk in and walk out? Truth. I like what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've been saying this, a recurring testimony. I'm going to keep saying it. I'll put it in my mouth. He says, we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Watch this. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. So it means you can have the word, but you may be handling it deceitfully. You cannot understand why the word is not working for some people. If I have the word in my heart, and but there's no truth in my heart, I automatically try, you know, make that word ineffective. And guess what? There are two people who know whether there is truth in your heart or not. God and the devil. You can fool men, but you can't fool God. And you can't fool Satan. You know why? God will allow Satan to see. Have you considered my servant Job? He gave him access. We'll see him. That's why that devil told that guy, he said, Paul, I know he's got truth. Jesus, I know he's got truth. But you, you don't have any truth in your heart. And the devil overcame them. Don't mess around in this thing. You know, make sure you got the real thing, because they will see it. So, truth is honesty, humility. Let's move on because of time. Number two, having on the breastplate of righteousness. I love this one. Now, let's look in the natural. In those days, it was called a breastplate. You know what it is today? A bulletproof vest. Same thing. The Roman soldiers, back in those days, would put on a metal breastplate. It is supposed to guard the vital organs, particularly the heart. The heart, and it goes down a little bit to the stomach, liver, because you see, once those ones go, you're dead. So when they're fighting, in those days, they didn't fight with gun like we do today. They used to fight with swords, you know, and all kinds of, you know, spears and stuff like that. So in the middle of a battle, they're fighting. Suddenly, somebody just hits out at him and hits his chest. But instead of piercing the heart, it hits the breastplate. Hallelujah. And bounces back. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, someone's going to ask me, Pastor, what is our breastplate? The breastplate of righteousness. Right standing. That's why clean with the blood is so important. Clean with the blood, your heart is clean. The life of God is inside. You know, then it brings faith and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Quickly jump there and jump back here. It says the breastplate of faith and love. 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is, chapter 5, and verse 8. Thank you. Putting on the breastplate. In Ephesians, it calls it righteousness. Here, it calls it faith and love. You see, when you put the love of God in your heart. Now, let's ask ourselves, what is the love of God? Let's break it down to practicalities. What is the love of God? It's not just a feeling and an emotion. It's, you know, wisdom, compassion, and all of that. But it's actually the fruit of the Spirit. So when you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, guarding your heart, then you're in a spiritual battle. And somebody launches out at you. Maybe says a bad word or something. Normally say, I can't hear to me, God. But you know, when you got that breastplate on, you bounce it back. Because you've got love. And you've got joy. And you've got peace. Great peace are they who love my law. Nothing. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Wow! Put that armor on. Put it on. Never leave the house in the morning without your armor. Put the armor of, put the love and the faith and righteousness. Put the breastplate on. You're going to need it during the day. There's an evil for every day. And in your, you might just go to an office or go somewhere. Somebody's going to say something or do something that's going to want to offend you. That's going to make you try and walk in unforgiveness or bitterness. But when that breastplate is on, you push it back. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. Next. And go back to Ephesians, right? Verse 15, I'm trying to move as fast as I can. Your feet shod with the provision of the gospel of peace. These are the sandals that they used to wear. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says that, you know, this people talk, use this to symbolize evangelism. It's not totally wrong. But really, what he's talking about here is an attitude. When you preach to people, either directly or through your life and your conversation, you do it, the Bible says, with meekness and temperance and reverence. 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you, there it is. He says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. I didn't hear you. And be ready always. That's what you do when you preach. Either you speak or you act. To every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you, with what? Meekness and fear. You see, on the fruit of the Spirit. That's why this thing is not just the armor of God, it's the armor of love. You know why? God is love. So when the Bible says put on the armor of God, he's asking you to put on the armor of love. Meekness. So even when you're preaching to people, or when you're talking to people about Jesus and all that, you don't do it with an arrogant attitude. You don't do it with a holier than thou attitude. You don't do it with a putting down others attitude. You do it with meekness and fear. Guess what? You know what Jesus said? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Say, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus is the most wonderful person in the universe. He is God manifest in the flesh. And the Gospels gives us snippets of how he behaved. You see him dealing with people, and you see him with meekness and reverence. He comes to this woman. The woman is an adulterer. She has 5 husbands. She's presently I don't know whether I can call it adultery or fornication, whichever it is. She's living with a man that is not her husband. Jesus knows all of this. But he doesn't condemn her. Meekness and reverence. Go and call your husband. I have no husband. Jesus laughs. Yeah, I know. You've had 5 husbands. And the person you've got now isn't even your husband. But at least you tried to tell the truth a little bit. It's a little bit translation. In that you said truly. You said that Messiah will come and tell us all things. Look at the humility. He knew who he was. He said, I that speaketh unto you, no noise am he. The woman said, yeah. That's 21st century translation. Ha! She knew it was the truth. She went to come and see. How did he put on the feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace? He did it with meekness. When you talk to people, be the same. Tell them, but with meekness and fear, not with arrogance. You know, I think a lot of Christians really want a lot of people to go to hell. I think they get pleasure out of letting them know they are going to hell and I'm going to heaven. That is not the spirit of Christ. He is not willing that any should perish. Even though the man may be going to hell, your own attitude is to want to win him and get him out of it, not to put him down. You now understand why some of our evangelism is not working. No, hell, man. Is that what you want? I know he's already going to hell. We know that already. The reason why I'm talking to him is because I don't want him to go. Not to make him feel bad so he can go faster. May God help us get the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit. This is Jesus. This is how he is. Next, verse 16. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench what? Some. The fire. Notice the word fiery. So God did not say their darts will not come. But he's giving you a defensive weapon. Your faith. And this faith is an attitude. Did you notice that if you analyze 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, you will find all the 9 fruit of the Spirit inside. I don't have the time now to do a detailed analysis, but I'll just extract something for your benefit. It starts with this: love endures long. That's long suffering. And is patient. That's patience. And is kind. That's kind. That's 3 of the fruit of the Spirit already. Okay? Then you now find it goes on to say, you know, towards the end, it says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Forbearance. Then it says, love is ever ready to believe the best. Faith. That's it right there. So when things are happening, always have a positive faith attitude. It's going to be okay. That's faith. So no matter what the Satan throws at you, your attitude of your heart is, it's going to be fine. That's what that woman did with Elijah. It is well. She put her shield of faith up. Her child had a fiery dart from had come, and the child was already dead. But she put the shield of faith and said, they said, what's wrong? I said, it is well. It was not well. The child was dead. But she kept, what you say with your mouth is so important, especially under pressure. Especially, brethren, under pressure. What you say with your mouth at that point in time is what the devil or God will use, depending on who you give it to. Jairus' daughter, the man comes and says, God, Master, my only daughter is 12 years old. She's dying, she's going to die. Just said, don't worry, I come. He's going the way this woman delays him and touches his garment. Power goes out, the woman gets healed. Just that interval, maybe 5-10 minutes delay. Don't worry your guy anymore. Your child is dead. Jesus hears it. This is his response. Fear not! Only believe. Shield of faith. Quench. Quench that fiery dart. Fear not! Only believe. This man learned, I learned this from Kenneth Copeland, you know, and Papa Hagen, you know, he learned what is known as the vocabulary of silence. Where you can't say anything positive, say nothing. Give the Lord a clap offering. Jairus, his faith was not where Jesus' faith was. But Jesus had warned him. Fear not. Only be. The man just kept quiet. And just began to follow God. You know, sometimes when your faith is not working, you can follow those who have faith. Hallelujah. And they went to the house. And of course we know the rest of the story. Jesus said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Of course Jesus knew she was dead. Just like he said, Lazarus was sleeping. Of course Jesus knew she was dead. Jesus knew she was dead. But he was not going to allow that to come out of his mouth. Because, you see, what you say is what Satan will use. It's true she was dead. But saying it is not going to help to change the situation. You want to change the situation, you have to call the things which are not as though they are. Then you now change what is seen to what is not seen, which is the Word of God. Under pressure, when everything is going bad, still saying, it is well. In Jesus' name, God is in control. The situation will turn around. God is working. Say things like that. And when you can't even say anything at all, just say, praise the Lord. Hello, somebody. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. You see, you can't go wrong with that one. Even if your faith is not strong enough to for positive conversion, at least you can thank God. Hey, where's showing us over? At least thank God for the sky. I'm not talking to anybody. I can't, okay. Father, thank you for the stars. Thank you for the sky. Thank you for the oxygen. There is always something to thank God for. Give the Lord a clap offering. You'll be amazed how you can turn a situation around just by the right attitude and words. I'm talking about the armor of God. We're going to be through in a few minutes. Next verse. Back to Ephesians, please. And above all, take the shield or the attitude, if you like, with the words and the attitude in the heart of faith. So no matter what comes, when Satan, he will come as a certainty. No matter what comes, you've got that shield up and you can quench that thing. Next verse. We're going to close soon. And take the helmet of salvation. Now, if you go to Thessalonians, it expatiates on this and tells that it's the hope. It covers the head. Two very vital things, you know, in the military, they'll tell you this. That's why when you see the soldiers, you see two things they have: bulletproof vest and a helmet. The reason for the helmet is this: if a bullet comes, if it hits the helmet, it will not penetrate into the cranium and into the brain. Because once it's a headshot, it's all over. So God, in His wisdom, has given us a spiritual helmet. No matter what is going on around you, no matter how bad it is, there is always a hope. There's hope at three levels. There's hope for the things of this life. There's the hope of perfection, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then there's the hope of the resurrection. So you've got a helmet that has three layers. If he penetrates one layer, the second layer is there. If he penetrates the second layer, the third layer is there. That one, he cannot penetrate it. Because even if it's in this life only, we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. When it looks as if all your armor is down and the devil is going to finish you and everything, just say, praise God, even if I die, I am going to resurrect. You can't put a winner down. Ah, hallelujah. Hence the scripture. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death, because they have the hope of the resurrection. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That is the armor. The last one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I can't stop there. I have to go to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Now observe. Observe. Everything I have said up till verse 17 is defensive. The word and praying in the Spirit now become your offensive weapon. Are you listening to me? So what God is saying is this: I've given you everything to protect you. Really, it's all the fruit of the Spirit. I can summarize it like that. I've detailed it. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Put all that on every day. So when you go out, this will happen, that will happen, this will happen, very that. You have something to buffet it. But you don't stop there. Now you now turn the battle to the gate. Hallelujah. You now take the word and praying in the Spirit, and then you don't just sit down like a dead duck and allow Satan to keep hitting. He's not only him who has fiery darts, we have fiery darts. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He's not the only one with fire. I have fiery darts too. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You shoot me, I'll shoot you back. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Then I start firing back. I cling with the word. I load with the word. And then I fire by the spirit. And you know what? He will pack his bags and go. Thank you, Brother Abraham. And he does not have my own kind of armor. That's why the Bible says he will flee. You don't start fighting somebody that has superior firepower. You beat a quick retreat. That's how you can reduce the duration of his attack and the collateral damage. If you stay only on the defensive, you may not be killed. You may survive, but you will only have mercy not to be consumed. You must take the offensive to get mercy to triumph. Am I talking to anybody here? This is the whole armor. The defensive armor and the offensive weapon. It's a complete picture. So, when we get in trouble, what do we do? Romans 12:12 summarizes it beautifully. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. I've got all of my defensive armor on. Then I don't stop there. Then I now turn it. I turn the battle to the gate. You attack me? You attack me? You haven't heard half of it. You haven't heard half of it. So I'm learned and I'm still learning. You know, when I get in any kind of trouble or anything like that, you know, I first of all absorb whatever it is, you know, whether my defensive weapon, then I go and look for a quiet place. I thank God. Then I I've discovered that Satan is really a coward. He's always looking for some Christian who doesn't know his rights. He likes to, you know, braggado. He's a showman. But once he comes against people who know, you know, he's very careful, you know, and he backs off. In this day and hour, you are going to prevail. The theme of this year is mercy to triumph always. Not sometimes. Don't your neighbor say, not sometimes. Always. And to triumph always, you need to put on the whole armor of love. Let us pray. Talk to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Whoa! Keep these weapons functional. That's why God, through me, by the mercy and the grace of God, those prayers, what I call love prayers, when you go in the morning, I choose to fear God. I pray for spirit of revelation. I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. What are you doing? You're putting on the armor. Even on very busy days, you know, we all have our busy days where maybe you don't have as much time to pray as you want to. Do those little ones. Never leave the house without the armor of love. It doesn't take 10-15 minutes. It can be done. Just quickly do it. In fact, there's a prayer. I haven't written it yet. You know, you can just say, Father, I confess my sins in Jesus' name. I have life. I infuse. Mommy has taught some people with this, you know, talking about the life of God. You know, I infuse my mind, my will, and my emotions with love, joy, peace. Lord, just count it. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, patience for today. In every situation, I'm going to think, act, and talk like God. I'm praying tongues. Even if you can't do anything, go out with that. Glory be to God. There is covering and there is backing. And when the enemy comes in, at least you've got your armor on, you'll be able to absorb some things. And when you can get a quiet moment, 5 minutes here or something, go back and counter. He will come to you again. I'm telling you, he will leave you alone. He's looking for this guy down the road who is going to start crying and say, God, and those are the ones he likes. You you get that, you know, when you just have time, maybe go to the toilet to go and ease yourself. Pray in the Spirit. Keep the pressure. I like the way the Bible says it. Take the battle to the gate. Don't let him always have the initiative. He will attack. Then you too will use your defensive weapons, absorb it, okay? No collateral damage. Then get back into prayer and then change the thing back to attack. Start feeling better in a few minutes. Say, Father, thank you. I know you're working on it. And there was, this guy, imagine somebody doing so much homework, you know, planning. He attacked, thinking that it's going to devastate you. And suddenly, you just turn the thing around in 5 minutes and say, wow. I wish we hadn't even attacked him. Glory be to God. Stand to your feet. Yes, darling.
Please be seated just briefly. I want to add something that the Lord's been speaking to me about, because I believe that this is a total message of staying victorious. The Bible says, you know, that we should be of good cheer, that we have overcome.
Absolutely.
If we have all this, there's just one thing more that the Lord has been speaking to me about that has such great power. And I just want to add to this armor so that we also will not be able to have our hedge down in any way or form or manner. I want you to turn to Malachi. And you know, we don't normally talk about this, but we have to talk about it, because God has been talking to me and I've been reaping fruits of this particular armor. Amen. Now let's look at Malachi chapter 3. And we'll be looking at from verse 7. You see, particularly at this time now, when God is restoring Nigeria back to a place of abundance and reverting recession, but people are still under a bit of squeeze. Many of us are falling prey of not paying our tithes and giving offerings. And this is a powerful weapon. It's a powerful weapon. See, if you have 1,000 naira, it's easy to give 100 naira. If you have 10,000, it's easy to give 1,000. If you have 10 million, it gets more difficult to give 1 million. Because you would have thought of all the things that that 1 million can do. If you have 100 million, say, God, please understand now. That million, he can do a lot of things. But listen to me. You know us, but this is the word of God. And many of us have our hedges down, and the devil walking in and out of our situation. It's not because we are not struggling to keep on the fruit of the Spirit. It's not because we are not praying, but because we are robbing God. And it says from verse 7, even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts, which means we have gone away from him. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Great message. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes? In tithes? In tithes? In tithes? If you want to enter into the realm of the fullness of divine protection and preservation and abundance, tithes is not enough. Not just giving the barest minimum. That's the, like the servant who says, I know you are not stern man. Just take all. This is your due. This is just your due. Just take it. Give me the protection. No. Just take it. No. When you love him, you give him more. It does. When you love somebody, no amount of money, anything is too much for you to give to your person. When I enter the shop, when I see lovely shirts, I just begin to pick them up. I begin to dig the ties. You, those of you that go with us, you know, I was looking things of pastor. Just we're picking them up. And somebody said, who are you picking? This is my husband. I don't count the coins when I'm picking for somebody you love. The same thing. God is not just looking for that 10%. 100 alone, 10%, 1,000, 100 naira. Alone, 10%, 1,000 naira. 10,000, 1,000. Take. Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Stop. You know, there are some things sometimes when I just say to the Lord, Father God, I confess my sins. I repent of them. Lord, you know I love you. I have brought to your house meat beyond what I can even afford. I come to now prove you, because your word says it. It never fails. Because it is his word, he answers. And that's what he told me. He says, bring ye all the tithes in my death, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Prove me. God is commanding you to prove him. After you have put all that armor on, he says, stand therefore. Having done all, stand. But he didn't say, prove me. So upon that, having done all, stand. Now add this to prove him. Prove me now herewith, said, if I, Jehovah, will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out. See, that's the realm of abundance. If I will not pour out upon you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Full stop. Full stop. For divine blessings, and I will rebuke. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. full. This is our full inheritance. Divine protection, the armor of love, standing, having done all, stand therefore. And then also the realm of abundance and divine protection. It is not you now that's rebuking the devil. It is God that takes you place and hides you in the cleft of his rock and said, I know you are not match, but I am match. Stay behind me, Satan, I rebuke you. Remember, there's a scripture, I can't remember, we say the Lord rebuke you. It says the Lord rebuke you. He got to a place where he needed the Almighty God to do the rebuking. And consistently putting on the old armor like Pastor said, and then paying your tithes and offerings. Cheerfully. Let me tell you, brethren, it is a privilege to be called by the Lord to give. An honor and a privilege. And not giving it because you want to show, he knows. Giving it because you love him. And you want to bring me, is God in the house to eat the food? Is he here to eat the food? But that his glory be shown around through you. Says, you know, I always tell you a testimony. And ever since we started doing it, I've never seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging for bread. Whatever our hands have not reached, Papa God will put us on his shoulders and he will help us to reach it. You remember when God told me, I don't want my son thinking about how to pay his salaries for his staff. So you take over the payment of that staff. And I was like, oh God. You know, I already double digit millions for the payment of the salary. Let me just tell him that I will be helping him. So that the month that I can, you know, help is different from saying the Lord told me. But that's not what God told me, oh. So you understand, that was dishonest, yo. But thank God I quickly repented, renouncing the hidden things of dishonest. You know, and my husband and I here, and us, the way God just relates to us is so uncanny. That same day, he didn't even wait till the next day. My husband just said, Sarah, remind me, I want to tell you something. I said, hey, on you, fast. God told me. That I should, no, don't worry about paying me your staff anymore. God told me that is the reason why he has raised us up as your Aaron and not to pay your staff, so you don't have to worry about. You know, he looked at me and I said, you are a wise woman. Because he knows that I know. You see, brethren, he looked very difficult, but I want to tell you something. Yes. Ever since that day, we have never lacked. Even things that I will be still saying, God, how? I will just see God raise help from nowhere. And he will put us on his shoulders. And he will give men for our souls. Run it! So that Pastor and his sons can be for signs and wonders in Israel. Brethren, this is the whole armor.
Absolutely.
If you want to break through into the realm of abundance and divine protection, where you boldly can come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help without charge, this is it. Because he said, prove me, and he's not a man to lie. And then many times when I can't do anything, and I say, Lord, you know, sir, I brought meat to your house. I come to prove you. And the Lord will say, okay, before I know it, Jack Robinson, everything comes to pass. Amen.
Hallelujah. Talk about completeness. You know, it's possible, and a lot of people are like that, who pray and all of that, and that would not become a loophole. You don't put your tithe, you don't pray your tithe, and all of that. And then Satan now has. But you walk in love, pray in the Spirit, then pay your tithe, and you're totally covered. Stand to your feet. It was an excellent, essential addition. Because it's an area you can easily find, particularly in a time of recession. Say, where God understands. And things are tight for me. So I will just do the minimum. Remember, it's tithe and offering. So into G tithe, to G tithe, to G offering, holy shinoni.
The Lord was showing me from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. It's a very relevant phrase. It's chapter 3 in Proverbs, verses 9 and 10. And it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Those are the offerings. And then it says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's the tithe. So it's an honor to the Lord to pay your tithe and then to honor him with your substance. Substance there means not just something small. This must be substance comes from substantial. Which is you don't skimp, you don't take the little one, you put the very best you can put. Substance, heavy stuff, amen. And then say, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. New wine there is not chamdo, you can include that. But it's all about revelation, knowledge, and understanding, and the light of, you know, God's word being empowered. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That will be the rest of our work. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Over to you, sir.
The Bible is a complete book. That's why the whole thing is interwoven. If you don't get the new wine, the armor can't work. Because the new wine is revelation. It's the revelation that's going to put the breastplate, all of that. And it comes from paying the tithe. And the substance is all interwoven. Talk to God, folks. Yeah, give me that message. It's the message. The message. Bimbo, he got it. Bimbo, bring it back. You know, thank you, honey. Oh, honor the God with everything you and give him the first and everybody shout it. Watch this order now. Everybody, you all read it. Honor, open your mouth. The first and 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 if you give him less than the best, what are you? Holy. Bible. That, you know, that's why God reveals these things to us. And God used mommy and Pastor Boyga. Come on, emphasize. Because it is a very important part of our arsenal. If you omit that, your whole armor is coming down. Because that's where the wine is going to come. And once the wine is not there, everything you're putting on, you're putting them on by revelation. Once revelation goes dim, the armor becomes ineffective. Talk to God. Ah, my pa, when you must untie. You are not under recession. Recession or no recession, we pay your tithe and your offering. And that's what will now bring you out of recession. Talk to God. Hallelujah.
Never let it be that I would turn away.
Sing! It's a great prayer. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Never let it be that I would love.
Of the times. We're living in a time of abounding iniquity, but God has prepared us. Ever let it be. This is not a time to go astray. And what God wants to see is the honesty, the willingness that will now spill over into actions as best as you can. Once God keeps seeing that, He keeps backing you, He keeps protecting you, He keeps helping you, He keeps helping you, He keeps protecting you, He keeps helping you. Talk to God. You notice these days, I always say, let's talk to God. We're all going to pray together, but you know, there's something about the heart that is very important to God. Hannah, she was talking to God from her heart. Eli did not know what she was saying. Now, Eli prayed, and the prayer of the high priest, superimposed on her prayer, got the job done. But she started from her heart. Pray to God. Don't talk religious talk. Talk real talk. Say, God, I love you. Thank you for this message. have mercy on me. Help me from tomorrow, from today. I will not leave the house that I am on. However short, I must put the love of God in my heart every day. I use the blood, the life, and the word and the spirit. Even if it's 10 minutes, I will never leave the house without the armor. Put on the defensive, then I go on with the attack. I keep praying in the spirit and make sure I pay my tithes and offerings so that Satan doesn't have a way of coming in. To the devourer cannot come and rebuke me. He cannot come and take the fruit of my ground. That's another revelation, darling. If you don't pay your tithe, the enemy can come and take the fruit. What's the fruit? Love. Takes your armor. Pastor G, did you get that? If you, he says, he will not, you are rebuked by God, he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. But what is the fruit of your ground? It's the fruit of the spirit. It's your armor. You don't pay your tithe, Satan can come in and take your armor. Your ground is your heart. Kashora. Good. Now, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on me. Say it again. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful, to put on daily the whole armor of love, and then to take my offensive weapons, your word, and praying in the spirit to turn the battle to the gate, and to pay my tithes and offerings cheerfully, promptly, and completely, so that the enemy, the devourer, will not be able to take the fruit of my ground, which is my armor. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Touch your body. We're just going to pray a short prayer for healing. Father, you're already healed. I'm telling you. You put this armor on, you pay your tithe. Life flows, and it is medicine to all your flesh. But let's pray anyway. See, Father, we confess our sins and clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on me as I pray. Father, I release resurrection life.
I release
resurrection life,
into my body,
from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I say that life is medicine to all my flesh and keeps me in healing and health, in Jesus' name. Ah, Longer come to the fresh. Zephyr come to the fresh. Yiki tufrede, lambre dolom tufres, tufrenes, nongaras, tolomagaras, tolomash tufres, langera kotufres, tolomashakaras, tufrenes, linger dolos, tufredofres. In Jesus' name. Join us with somebody. You're gonna need this stuff. Make no mistake about it. You're gonna need this stuff. Don't postpone it. Start practicing it today. Now. Something happened last week. I preached a message on some of this stuff. That very week, one of my staff was attacked. Armed robbers. His wife, children. Put the gun to their head, took the car from them. They called me. I was in your lorry. I wasn't even around. I didn't even tell my wife initially. I just said, Lord, I know I'm covered. It's fine. I told Pastor Andrew, don't worry. We're fine. 24 hours later, the car was back. No collateral damage. The attack did not last 24 hours. The word was tested immediately. You're going to need this stuff. Don't play games, folks. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell them, so you put on the whole armor of love and pay your tithes and offering in Jesus' name. Amen.